Hi, everybody, and welcome to Tapped into Psychedelics. I'm your host, Adam Tapp, and with me today is my friend and producer, as always, Handsome Jason. And our guest today is Sundri, who is a spiritual mentor. How are you doing, Sundri?
So fabulous. So excited.
That's fantastic.
So grateful. So blessed. Magic, miracles, awesomeness.
Well, we were chatting away for quite some time before this, and we decided to shut it down and actually record some of it. So to start this off, let's just sort of get into what a spiritual mentor is and what you do, basically.
Well, you know, it's just a word. So it's like really anyone's perception of what spiritual mentor could be anything. It's funny, as some of the things that we share, people are like, oh, you do or don't believe in God. So I'm like, yeah, spirit to me means in spirit. And being a mentor, teacher is just like, obviously, I believe I'm still just as much a student as I am a teacher and on the path with everyone. Everyone's their own guru. And I'm here to share whatever I've learned along the way that can support other people. So I believe we're all teachers. But so the thing that probably resonates the most is to live in our highest alignment, to live in our divinity in spirit, and to support and share and reflect that for everyone else in all that we do.
And so over time, like, you know, looking at your webpage and everything else, you've accrued a very significant following of people who choose to emulate you, or however you want to view this as. So how do you go about, I'm not sure if like a role model or a person to be emulated, or, you know, you're not really happy with the notion of a teacher, but how do you embody the methodology in life in which you exist? And how do you give this to other people in which they can model themselves afterwards?
Well, you said it, you embody it. You know, I think one of the greatest compliments I receive from people is when they are around me, they're like, wow, you are exactly everything you teach and share. You're like, you're being it, you're being that vibration, you're being unapologetic expression, you're being, you know, choosing to be this, you know, upgrade our perceptions about all that's available in life. We just get to be it, we get to practice it. So, you know, I'm committed to being devoted to my divinity. I'm committed to continual expansion. I'm here for fucking all of it. I'm here for the, you know, the growth, the consciousness, the upgrades, the being with all aspects of myself, all emotions, all perceptions, everything and everyone else. And I'm, you know, so it's like, to how do we get to continue to expand and to be embodied, to be here in a body that is in living in our highest alignment? Because I believe that we have this beautiful, holy human playground to experience all aspects of life, whatever we choose as a sovereign being. And we're really fucking multidimensional as well. Yeah. So how cool is that? Let's be all of that. And I would say to just embody all that we are.
Which is kind of refreshing, right? Because I find that any type of religious teachers, there's always this layer of hypocrisy behind it, because they make contradictions of organized religion. Like it's invariable that you're going to run into walls with that. And that level of hypocrisy, I find, fuels huge amounts of discontent. And so from your perspective, you know,
I guess that's why I was like, I could say I'm a spiritual teacher, and some people might think that has everything to do with religion. I'm like, Yeah, it's like, it's actually free of religion. It's free of the boxes, the conformity, the paradigms, the constructs. It's like to be in spirit, to be in that connection, that energetic connection with all that I am, means I am liberated and free. So that's why spiritual teacher, even for me, is I'm like, yeah, that's probably the closest human label you could give it. And it doesn't mean religion to me. It means to be, completely free with all that I am.
So, and to me, that, like, that notion of complete authenticity is sort of what it is, right? Like, liberation to me is being completely authentic with oneself and embracing who you are in an absolute certainty, which is, like, super hard, man. Like, you know, I've been working on that for quite some time, the idea of complete self-acceptance. And I don't know what it looks like to achieve that. And, you know, but it's amazing the amount of things we have inside us that simply just letting go of. And now, so how did you get there on this path? Like, did you... You know, you started off sort of from an interesting roots. You want to sort of get into how and what you evolved into this place?
Sure. You know, well, first thing that I'd love to say around what you just shared, which is beautiful, is that, so you said authenticity. For me, authenticity is, and transparency. Transparency for me is a key code, which says there's nothing to hide and nothing to prove. Like, when I am fully transparent, I'm fully authentic, or unapologetically being all of me, I am free. I am liberated. And you did say that can be hard. And I used to believe that as well. And I just want to throw this in for people that they can maybe hear what else could be available. As in my journey, what I've come to I've come to look for, I've come to embrace, is that, you know, we, as we know, everything can be as hard or as easy as we choose to perceive it to be, right? If we're like, oh, telling the truth or being authentic or being myself is hard, that's what we look for. But actually what I found is the more when I speak to my truth, when I honor other people's truth, when I operate from that authenticity, that is what gives me freedom. And it actually ties into where, you know, you just asked me to go, is like kind of looking at my background. I remember when, so I was raised Mormon, LDS, very strict religion. I was also raised on a farm, very poor. I was raised witnessing a lot of just, you know, limiting beliefs. I had, rape attempts, kidnappers, stalkers, like deep fear, sexual abuse, all these, what most people would say, very traumatic experiences and things that, you know, that I got to evolve through and go through. And I remember, after, to kind of fast forward, I was raised Mormon LDS. And as I got married young, you know, just like we were supposed to do, I got married in the temple and did all the things I was supposed to do. And it was, my boys were actually 1 and 4 years old. And my former, which I refer to as like my former husband, or I still, now I say beloved, but some people might say ex, right? Yeah. I cheated. And I ended up being a $2 an hour waitress. Most people have heard on my story, like, oh, I went from a $2 an hour waitress to $1 million mentor, you know, in like a few years, et cetera. And that's what I'm known for. But in this process, I remember going through that. I was so ashamed for people to hear that my husband cheated on me, because it was like my human thoughts were, well, then they think I was bad at sex and wasn't a good wife and all these things. And when I was trying to hide that story, it was like, and not being authentic, it was like I was suppressed. I was literally like, it was like, I was scared someone would find out. And when I, as I went through my own, again, inner journey of healing and realized, like, it's just a story. It's just an experience. It's just, if everything that I experienced was what I chose, because I got to take responsibility how I created that in my world. And I share that, I think, in my book and some different things, of how it's like, I recognized I had these beliefs that if I was a perfect mom and a perfect wife and I looked beautiful and I acted perfect, how many of us associate to perfect? Obviously, I let that go a long time ago. That's why I'm an unapologetic whatever wants to fly. Yet if I acted perfect and was perfect, my husband would love me, appreciate me, and never cheat on me. And I caught that those were my thoughts and my beliefs and my words and my perception. So of course, if I was focused on cheating, what did I create? I created getting cheated on. And so that was one of the first journeys for me of like, how could I ever heal that if I didn't come to authenticity with it? If I didn't come to actually honor it and love it and see it out of compassion and unconditional acceptance, that this was actually what I chose as a part of my journey. And he chose that. We chose that sacred relationship, that partnership, that he could learn the things he was required to learn. I could learn the things I was required to learn. And so why would we ever hide that? It's like, that was such a beautiful gift. So when I started to own, how I spoke to it in a way of power wasn't to keep proclaiming it in the field of I was cheated on. It was to say, in my past experience, this, you know, I was married, I had this experience, and da, 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 da. And it's like, I got to, this was a part of my experience. And I stopped shaming it and blaming it and hiding behind it. And once I shared it freely, it was like, I was liberated. And so that's one of the first pieces on my journey of learning that the more I am unapologetically, unconditionally, compassionately, radically in acceptance of myself, that to the capacity I can do that for me is the capacity I can do that for others.
Well, and it's interesting,
the amount I can give. Yes.
It's interesting that you say that, because, like, as far as I'm concerned, if you can't love yourself, then you can't actually love anyone else.
Yeah,
you know, you got what
we
you are,
as much as we give, and
what you're capable of giving to yourself is how you reflect back. And that goes the same way with self-loathing, self-hate, and the self-shame, is that everything that we project outwards is simply a reflection of ourselves.
And we
like to blame everything around us for making us feel that way. But at the end of the day, we are the authors of our own discontent as much as our happiness, which is sort of an interesting concept. So,
yeah, preach it, brother.
Right. And so in your journey, you went from, I think it's safe to say, dirt poor, ultra conservative religious upbringing. You had these series of sort of arguably catalysts in your life that caused you to sort of embrace yourself and who you are.
Yeah.
And so you utilize plant medicines fairly frequently for the last 15 years. How did they play into this? Was they a catalyst for this, or did they come into play afterwards?
They, well, along the way, I mean, I've, as I shared with you before, with like even receiving my spiritual name, et cetera, I've been all over the world. I've been deeply devoted to divinity and consciousness upgrades and worked with many, many plant medicines and spiritual teachers and all sorts of things. And so I've been open to like all the ways of activating, awakening my consciousness. And so I was already on the journey as like, I think I was already like $1 million mentor. I was living in California, had the Magical Manifestation Mansion, had some of the highest, you know, leaders in the world or businesses that I was coaching. And I had worked a lot through mindset and learned a lot of emotional connection body work with that. And when I really began to work with plant medicines, it was just like, I would say it just quantum leaped my consciousness. Mm-hmm. It actually is. But I mean, and you can bring this back into human stuff where people like they want a specific result. I believe beyond that, what we're all actually truly seeking is our self-realization.
Yeah.
I think your goals, your soul's greatest desire is self-realization.
Yeah,
your soul's simply greatest desire.
And that stems into all sorts of notions of like, you know, programming. And when we are profoundly social mammal and we have to be programmed to be unprogrammed. And that's sort of an interesting thing that people lament the idea of the conflict in their life and their childhood. But I'm like, but all of those things gave you to the point of an objective realization of who and what you are that allows you to retroactively let go of these things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but we do, as you said, we have these programs. Where the interesting thing is, if we really got into it, it's like, there's so many things that not only in our epigenetics, our DNA that we did take on as part of our multi-generational, there's all this imprinting within our body vessels from lifetimes of experiences that we're not even aware of on a conscious level. It's an unconscious level. Then you talk about, we have traumas, perceptions. I mean, everything from like you get teased at school and someone could say that's not a trauma, but that, you know, the child takes it on as a nervous system. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like we have, and so you hear people talk about, well, this part of me, we all have, you know, multiple personalities and that we have different wounded aspects of ourselves. I'm taking on protector parts, manager parts, all these things that are happening in this beautiful system, right? And so what we've learned to be safe, to be, you know, to keep ourselves in that comfort zone of safety is to suppress certain things, to create patterns or behaviors, or again, protectors coming online for certain things. And our human is only feels capable to deal with a certain amount. What's beautiful about working with these sacred teachers is for a lot of, what happens is a lot of times these protector parts can actually be softened or go to sleep, that we allow the healing, the aspects, the things that want to be healed to be able to come up. And we also have then this awareness to see beyond this illusion. Like you said, if someone has only this illusion of like, well, they did this to me and this was this horrible thing, and we can't see beyond, that's the human 3D illusion. Beyond that is how we chose that, what we got from it, how we get to become aware of all aspects of ourselves to be able to see through love and hear through love what actually was happening and what's available for us. So it's like we have this awakening. So a lot of times it's like we can see the level, we get a view of a level of consciousness to also go, whoa, I see how that was my greatest gift. I see how that was what I chose. I see all this new information. Grandmother Ayahuasca actually gave me a code where she's like, you can always just tell your mind, look for new information. Like, thank you. That's old information. Where's the new information? Like there's infinite possibilities available. So when it gives us the opportunity to see beyond these illusions, then we can heal these aspects that have been creating that vibration that is what we're attracting as well as what we're looking for, and just give us a higher attunement to go, life can be easy. It doesn't have to be so hard, but that is one of the gifts that these sacred sacraments and teachers give us. So for me, that was what I share with people is that even in all the work that I've done in all the different modalities and things that I've been committed to, plant medicines and psychedelics was not, I mean, by far, every single time, and it still does, quantum leaps my consciousness, quantum leaps my healing. And so for me, it became a big piece of like, how can I not share this with others? Like if I'm working with personal clients or me taking groups that I have to work with these things, I'm like, I have to, it was like, I have to, you know, even though that's a limiting word that I felt like in normal vocabulary, it's like, oh, I get to, I'm choosing. Yet it's like, this is a calling forth that I get to allow people to know that this is available to support and awaken them to who they truly are and what's actually available to heal their bodies. I've seen so many people heal sicknesses. I've healed several myself. So it it came in after some of my journey with mindset, which is also why I give people a lot of support in guiding them through clearing a lot of limiting beliefs and ideas and stories before they work with plant medicine, because then there's so much more that we can clear that we're aware of and going in deep. And it continues to be a part of my journey of wherever I'm called to use it, because it continues to awaken the next level of attunement with my soul and that self-realization.
And I find it interesting too, because a lot of people, you know, live a lifestyle and then psychedelics is the catalyst for change. Whereas seemingly with you, it was just significant adversity led to a catalyst, which then seemed to dovetail quite conveniently with the teachings of plant medicines.
Yes. Yeah.
And now at that same time, right? Like you've obviously been to India quite a few times. Your name is Sanskrit and it was been given to you by a teacher. So when did you end up going to India? Because it is interesting to note that I find that modern Western philosophy cannot really deal with the information and the mindset that comes from psychedelics. And so much like the Beatles and Alpert and all these different people, you know, you go to India and then you study with masters of Eastern philosophy, which are significantly more reflective of the experiences that people have on psychedelics.
Yeah.
And so when you went to India, how did that work? Like you were invited, you were end up sitting with teachers considerable times.
Well, yeah, I've been several times. It's actually been, oh gosh, I want to say it's probably been like 4 or 5 years ago since I've been with the whole COVID thing. And I went with a teacher that I was studying with the first time to India, and I actually got to work with a reincarnated avatar who now it's kind of like would be like sitting with Jesus. Like you can't even get close to him. And I went a couple times and got to be with this reincarnated avatar and go through a lot of just different processes with different deities and healings in lots of different ways. I have this beautiful story that's really close to my heart of how this actually opened my consciousness so much, because this reincarnated avatar called me forth one day and he just like had me hold my hand out like this. And he went like this, 1, 2, 3, had just a plain hand. And he out of thin air manifested this silver medallion, dropped it into my hand. And it had Ganesha on one side and a Sri Yantra on the other. So I've seen these incredible things. He gave me a specific chant and said for me to wear this and do this. And then the time that I got my spiritual name, I was actually invited because I had been, I guess, you know, through the years of my journey had come to a certain level of attunement and awareness that I'd been invited with some other spiritual teachers to be with this this enlightened master up in the Himalayas. And that's when I actually received from him my name, Sundari, which means divine beauty, universal beauty. And it's really an acknowledgement of all life as beautiful. Everything is beautiful. So I see the dark and the light, everything is beautiful. So I think it's because, you know, you attract what you are, right? My friend, you manifest what you vibrate. And so these opportunities came into my field as I was, again, looking for consistently how I'm always leaning into if anything's uncomfortable, how am I expanding that comfort zone? If where I believe wherever there's any resistance, because energy never lies and we are infinite beings we're energetic vibrational beings. And so if we have any resistance in our world, in our field, let's say we don't agree with a way of thinking or being or a culture or a religion or, you know, and this is again how war is created, right? It's like one side says this is right and this is wrong. And the other side says, well, this is right. And then we're at war. Instead of when we can witness if there is resistance within ourselves, if we have a trigger, there's a mirror reflection in front of us, something that we don't like, and we say, I don't like that. We're actually pushing, we're doing this thing of like blocking energy, saying, I can't receive. And so we're blocking receiving more love, more abundance, more pleasure, more peace, more everything in our world by putting up these like walls of energy that also say, I can only receive this way. So we're blocking the universe on giving us all the infinite ways that we can receive. So it's of ours to take radical responsibility of anything in our life that is not in the highest attunement, anything that's not clean energy, and to be able to go, so, oh, I notice I really am triggered by that culture or that religious idea or that whatever. And how am I doing that? And what is it that that's triggering? And we get to do our own cleaning up that we can say, I honor that. Doesn't mean I have to choose to go do and be it. We know there's many things happening in the world right now where there's things that we, you know, would label from a human story as bad or wrong. But when we can simply witness that it has a right to exist, because all things have a right to exist, every single one of us in our divinity has the opportunity to experience whatever we're meant to experience in our journey. right? We wouldn't learn. I wouldn't be who I am today if I hadn't been through, like we'd shared before. Shitty mentors taught me the greatest things. They taught me how to be what I consider to be a great mentor by having shitty mentors. And all these challenging experiences in life gave me beautiful understandings that I could see through love. So when we can take that radical responsibility to heal anything that is not in the highest vibration of unconditional love, that is not seeing everyone and everything as God, as divinity, then that's what we're still attracting. So I see that my belief systems now are, you know, I'm divinity and it's my divine birthright to live in ease.
It's non-dualism, right? It's non-dualism in the sense that there's no duality in your existence. It's simply I.
And neutrality. It's like, it's like I am. So how could I resist that if that is me? And, you know, this is why I'm like, there's so many times, Adam, I'm like, oh, my wholeness is totally seen through all the illusions is this. But my human is really fucking triggered right now.
there's millions of years of biology that come into play for us to be deeply tribal. And that tribalism has brought us and allowed us to be what one could say an apex species on this planet. But at the same time, it almost seems like we're fighting our own biology and we're fighting our own stories and our own programming. You know, like it's unique to notice that, you know, the big three religions that, you know, that I'm just going to refer to independent of Eastern philosophy have this idea of right and wrong, good and evil, and this constant struggle. And one has to triumph over the other, which leaves people with this constant adversarial attitude towards everything around them, in which you're wrong, I'm right, you're good, you know, we're good, you're bad. And it seems that it just leaves this context. And you see it in society very frequently, this sense of tribalism and, you know, within the political left and right, where it's this struggle of good versus evil. And you see people referencing that so frequently, specifically within the religious right. And I find it unique to notice that right and wrong is purely a subjective opinion.
Yeah.
And it's applied morality to it. And when you see nature, there's, you know, a hyena is not evil for tearing apart a pregnant gazelle. It's fucked up. But at the same time, it just simply is nature. It doesn't, you can't apply sort of this weird anthropomorphic sense of evil to it. And then when you sort of get into like these Eastern philosophies, it's like, well, if everything is singularly one, then it's doing it to itself. And that very nature just gives the credence to experience.
Yeah. And it also, it shifts everything, right? Like, because it's like what some of these things that supported me from this energy of what you're talking about is I'm like, whatever I give fight to creates more fight. Even in my own deep healing journeys, I have a series on my podcast is called Marcy on Medicine. Cause again, my human name before my spiritual name was given to me is Marcy. And I had a Marcy on Medicine series where I, you know, talk psychedelic experiences and plant medicine experiences, a lot of peeps that have been in my experiences as well as my own. So many beautiful healings came to where I was literally fighting the energy, the idea, the vision, the thing that wanted to be healed. And when I caught it and was like, oh, that's right. Like a fight is going to create a fight. Whatever I'm trying to control is actually controlling me. Whatever we give something, we're getting back, right? And when I got to soften into just love, 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 and love this thing, and that's when it would dissipate and move through my system to be healed. And so even as you're saying, when we come to this unity consciousness with all things, again, as interwoven energy, I am you and you are me. Why would I project on you that you're, you know, an ass or bad and wrong, or you da da da, you should do life this way when you're me? And I can honor that you're in your perfect human experience as a god, goddess, and the goo in between, all the things, right? And it becomes, so actually, this is what I love. And even going back to your first reflections of like how it living in authenticity can be hard. It's like we've created all these programs that living in our divinity, who we are, is hard. And, you know, living and like all this human stuff, it's like, we're the only ones that create our own suffering. We're the ones making it hard. What if we actually saw that everything that we have resistance to is that we, instead of seeing it as a fight or it should be changed, we simply saw everything out of love and embraced it with compassion, that it's like, oh, this thought is existing, this idea or this experience. And when I approach it through that lens, oh, interesting. My human's feeling really triggered right now. And that's why I'm like, I'm not attaching to it. The story doesn't have to be true. It's just a label or meaning. I can just like, wow, interesting. What's going on here, love? Like, what's actually happening? And how can we begin to like accept what we're feeling, play with it, play with the energy. We're alchemists. This is why I attune to being the alchemist of light. I guess if you really wanted a label of who I am and what I do, the thing I resonate the most with is I'm a fucking alchemist. Like, I am here to alchemize the fuck out of everything. Because like anything that is not in the highest vibration, my divinity is here for me to heal and love. It's just showing me that what's ready to be healed and loved, to alchemize it. Because as a god, as a goddess, as a divine being that has, from my awakened awareness, I'm just having these human experiences to allow that that healing, to allow the stuck energy, the limiting beliefs, the programs, ideas, all the trauma, the nervous system. We're healing our nervous system that we can actually be here. Most people can't be here because they're like this inside, right? La, 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 la. And so like the more peace we become, the more at peace we become. The more light we become, the more light we become, right? The more I, and when I'm vibrating from this place, this is what I manifest. So all of a sudden my human experience becomes peace, love, joy, ease, grace, flow, abundance, because I see all of the fucking abundance all of life has through everything, and everything is a gift and magic and miracle. So of course I'm experiencing a very different human experience now than those days that I was living and operating from those limitations. And so what I, in that journey, just like we started this beginning, this conversation with, of authenticity, to come into unapologetic acceptance of all that I am, then has allowed me the freedom, the healing, the liberation to be all that I am, to experience life with all that's available.
You know, it's a fascinating notion, because I think one of the biggest things that holds people back is self-victimization. Mm-hmm. And that idea that something external to me is the reason why my life can't proceed forward. But at the same time, things get complicated, right? Yeah. Like you and I are both, you know, white and living in an environment where it is relatively conducive for us to advance into different situations. And then, mm-hmm. you know, I sometimes am like, I've done a lot of traveling and, you know, mm-hmm. life can be inherently hard for certain specific people because yeah. of other people's fears and other people's issues. Mm-hmm. So like, what would be your advice for someone who has a whole series? Like, you know, you're attractive, you have an appropriate ethnicity to grow in this environment. Yeah. And so like, I sometimes wonder, like, you know, for instance, people coming from environments where things are cast against them. And even in India too, like the caste system itself,
yeah,
you know, which still does exist contrary to what people might think. And I'm saying that externally from someone who's been there several times, where, you know, learning how to accept something that is so profoundly limiting and then embracing that and using that as a catalyst for change. You know what I mean? Like it's very unique to look at the perspective of how people are able to reinvent themselves in environments that are so limiting.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're always going to find whatever you're looking for. You know, I mean, I was on a call the other day with a woman who is a beautiful woman, of a different ethnicity, and she's, you know, created this nonprofit and doing such amazing things for supporting women that have been sexually abused and had domestic violence, such to be able to go through working with psychedelics and plant medicine. And she was sharing it. She's like, how being a different race or ethnicity, there's this deep fear of, you know, if I even poke my head out at all, I'm going to get arrested and I'm going to be, you know, and yet you, a white person, could totally blah, 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 blah. Oh,
I have shit talk cops before and there's like, just get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's wild. The difference is.
So, I mean, that all exists and that's very true. And, you know, I mean, we all playing different parts and different lifetime experiences. And so if again, and we're always going to, we get to choose the story that we want to create, and we can look at any, it just reminds me, I remember being in, this is one of the ways that I got to heal and looking at this, is that when I was in India and there was like some massive storms and things happening. And I remember I was with this enlightened master and we ended up just leaving right when this huge flood came through and like took out this whole place that we were just at. And as we were leaving and driving by, remember looking out the window of this little bus that we'd gotten on and seeing it was where, I guess you could call it, I mean, there's poor aspects in all of India, right? Mm. But it was like this area where all these families had these just
corrugated steel. Yeah.
They had, like these slates of metal that were you know, put together in little things as little boxes that they'd crawl into and sleep at night. And with this flood, of course, it just washed everything away. And they were already living in little like boxes, basically, of these little metal slats. And I see this little boy that is standing there with water up to his waist, at least, or even, you know, chest, just crying. It's like his house just got washed away, which was just this little metal thing. I'm like, and where's his family? And I instantly have these thoughts of like, why God, kind of a thing, like, why do we have to go through such suffering? And like seeing it as a limitation. And in that moment, I had a higher awareness of like, seeing this beautiful beloved, this little boy who was, again, he chose this very experience to be his greatest teaching tools. And it's like, now we could fast forward 25 years, just like in many of the people that I've worked with or, you know, come to understand their stories, and where it's like, because I had these scary experiences, this became my purpose, you know, working with like this woman, working with women in supporting them and healing their sexual abuse, et cetera, was because she had a lot of those experiences. Right. And so it's like, we can never know what's available for us in the, you know, from this thing. But so if we judge it as bad and wrong, we're actually seeing it as less than the divinity that it is, or that person is less than divine. So when we look at someone and we might judge where they are in their path right now, or wherever they're at in their experience, we're actually like, oh, my consciousness is up here. And your conscience, oh, you must not, even if I thought, you must believe what I believe. You must,
yeah, it has this sense of elitism associated with it. We're right. All creating hierarchical right. structures, and right. you know, you're down here and you have some inability right. to do this.
Yeah.
But now, that same thing requires the mm-hmm. belief of reincarnation and the idea that each individual life is we're making a spiritual decision far mm-hmm. away from the awareness mm-hmm. that we exist with, that every yeah. shitty thing that happens to us is some sort of lesson that is being provoked to spurn change or growth. Mm-hmm. It's sort of,
yeah,
sort
well,
of
the, I mean, when I realized I got to look at this little boy as a divine being, just like I see my boys, I speak to this in my Awakened Relationships programs and things that I teach of like, they're not my boys. Like they're not like this younger thing that doesn't have the awareness. They're a divine being that is fully aware and capable of choosing the life path that they want to experience. So I'm like, this child in the river or in the water that's, you know, having this experience, their divinity, they're fully, I can see them out of the highest level of consciousness that they're choosing this as their perfect experience. And what if instead of me going shaming that, thinking it's wrong, giving any energy to it that doesn't serve, instead I'm like, wow, I see you, love, I honor you, love, you know, sending you so much love. Thank you for your journey. I know who you're choosing, you know, that you're choosing to learn from this, to be who you're choosing to be. So when you come back to like what you were saying, you know, where it's like, and we're coming back to whatever story, whatever experience we're having, whatever race you are, et cetera. It's like, it's a choice what we want to experience. And that's just what it comes back to. I love, for me, the simple ways of that I've supported myself in my own evolution is I just come back to energy. Like energy never lies. Am I contracting or am I expanding? Am I opening to more, or am I literally choosing a story, a belief, a perception, an idea that is going to limit me? Because lies will only limit you, but you know, our truth will set us free. It opens us up. And so, you know, all day long we could go, well, I don't have because of this, this, and this, and this. I had a lot of that too. You know, people that hear my story, they're like, how the fuck first are you even alive with all the different things that I experienced, as well as like where I'm at today? Even when I shared with you that I was Mormon and you're like, whoa, holy fuck. I'm like, yeah, that was fun. You know, like that, like I could choose to see it as all the limitations, or I can choose to see it as all that I chose to learn and grow through, that I wanted a catapult to have an awakened awareness, to live in a greater experience. So yeah, it exists. It exists that we all have different environments we're born into, different, you know, programs. You could have siblings that are twins even, and born into the same environment, have the same parents, etc., and have completely different experiences.
Yeah, entirely. Like our individual perception can be exactly, dictated by genetics, exactly. by a multitude of different things.
Yeah. So I think, do we want to stay in looking for, you know, proof and validation of why we can't, etc., or do we want to go, okay, obviously when I take radical, and this is why for me one of the key code principles of our evolution is radical responsibility. Because we're sovereign beings. Until we come to the place of going, okay, it is here. This is what I obviously chose. What's the perception I want to choose? What is it teaching me? What do I want to do with it? Like, and I if I see and witness that everything is for me, because in every moment I'm more wise, I have more experience, you know, this beautiful journey. And if, or I could stay here and go, oh, that really sucks. And why did that happen, etc. I'm not going to go anywhere. So it just comes down to, do you want to create change or not? Do you want to experience something different or not? Because we're all beautiful, perfect, divine beings. So I honor you, beloved. If you want to stay in ideas and stories and hardship, that's okay too. Still loving you. Still
so
loving
you. So that same line of thought is that people who don't choose to advance and let go, do they choose to be stagnant in this life? Like, it seems sort of like an interesting concept, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Like, is that the life lesson, is to be stagnant and dwell within misery? Because I think people always have this idea of like growth is linear, and that's not always true.
No, I mean, well, and there's no such thing as time. So like, it's like,
I don't actually disagree with that at all. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like to say, like, when we slow down, we actually speed up again, because when I slow down and I have a presence and awareness, I'm aware of all the information in the field, like, and I can make decisions based off of that and create massive results. And hence the vibration of I'm worthy of being at peace and ease, hence huge, amazing, beautiful opportunities for creating massive abundance, etc., come my way, because I'm in the vibration of I'm fulfilled and I'm whole and I'm satisfied. There's nothing missing and lacking. So same thing is in that, you know, when we're willing to pay attention to what is here and lean into that resistance to know, oh, okay, what else can I create? What else is possible? What else is here for me? We move forward quickly to do something. Now, what you're talking to is a lot of people have learned, you know, first off, change is hard, that it's scary. All these stories and programs that go, oh, I don't want to be uncomfortable, so I'll just stay where I'm comfortable in my comfort zone, which is staying where it's like their scared self, the smaller self, is comfortable. So if you look at normal society, the collective ideas and agreements about, again, oh, I don't want to bother you too much, and so I'll hold back my voice. You know, even in the evolution I've had of being unapologetically expressed in my truth and my authenticity, I had to let go of these ideas that it's like I was responsible for your result or your experience. Instead, I could be like, okay, well, this is my truth and this is what I'm choosing to honor myself. And it's okay if you have that experience. It's okay if I speak my truth and someone goes, wow, she is fucking way too much and I can't handle her and I don't like her at all. And she swears she's not a spiritual teacher. She's horrible. That's okay. That's okay. I love you, sweetheart. It's like, it's your, I understand you could have those thoughts and ideas. They have a right to exist and you're triggered. So you see, my point is that when we choose to lean into whatever's uncomfortable, we evolve and change, because we're meant to evolve and change. When we can be stagnant, but it's because we're like, literally like, I'm just going to stay here. Now what happens, Adam, most of the time, you might've experienced this as well, I know I have many times in my life, is when you stop paying attention, life wants to give you a good old bitch slap.
Yeah. It has a tendency to do that.
Right. It's yeah. Like, okay, I've given you some signs a few times and you just continue to ignore me. So let's just make this more aware, right? Let's just make this more intense. So hence I say, pay attention inside now. Pain, pay attention inside now. When we have pain, it's just giving us the ability to witness that something isn't working and it's revealing what wants to be healed and loved. So people can choose in this lifetime. I mean, I have beautiful, amazing conversations with all my family. They're still Mormon and LDS, and love and honor and respect exactly what they choose in living. And they love and honor and respect where I'm choosing living, because we've created awakened relationships. And even though we can have these evolved conversations, it's like, they're like, that's like their choice of how they want to live is kind of staying in that idea of what is acceptable, what is validated, what society wants. And they can be having this experience in this life of like, well, this is the experience I'm going to choose to have. I can't judge that either, because that's also perfect and whole and complete, right? So, you know, I think there is maybe those people are like, you know what? I'm not here for the norm. I actually resonate with when people call me crazy, I'm like, damn straight, I'm crazy. I'm cray cray as fuck. Because
I actually appreciate being called crazy. Because normalcy is relatively stagnant. And until a point where normalcy actually has evolved to a point where everyone has achieved some state of self-acceptance, then being weird and crazy is entirely okay.
Yeah, that's what I see it as. I see cray-cray as a compliment, because I'm like, I am not here to be normal. I'm not here to be, you know, in a box or stagnant. So I appreciate that. I am woo-woo as fuck, because I am so open to all the ways that I get to be supported by all my multidimensionality and all the light. And yeah, that can seem really crazy to people who might have a different perception. So power to that.
So out of curiosity then, and so you're teaching, or you're providing a framework in which people can observe to emulate, and to some extent, if that's a reasonable statement.
Yeah.
So how does that necessarily work in using as a psychedelic as a catalyst? And so, you know, you were talking about doing these retreats. Cambodia is one of them. You were talking about working in Bali and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I have teachers that have been my teachers that I've worked with that are of the tribes in Colombia that I've worked with, working with Grandmother Aya for 10 plus years. And I take my groups there. And I also have a whole program that I train facilitators. So I have a group of awakened embodied healers that are facilitators that are also learned to work with the plant medicines and psychedelics. And so they also can take people to Colombia. Then I have my Journey to Remembrance experience, which is working with, I work with Rape, a grandfather medicine, is a deep clearing medicine in collaboration many times with my retreats, but we also work with psilocybin, and we work with Bufo or 5-MeO. Sometimes we'll work with ketamine to recode the brain. And so in these experiences, so whether a lot of times, yes, someone's like, oh my gosh, I'm so ready for that experiential training. I believe in experiential training because, you know, it's like you can read a book and be like, oh, that's really good information.
I know until you actively do an application, and then it's not the same thing. And, you know,
it's a completely different because you're actually receiving your in your cells of your being. It's a lot different to just receive information through the mind. And we can have these amazing, powerful conversations and people can hear, oh, so I had to choose to see it through that lens. And I have to, okay, so this is how I get to start to speak up for myself to have a different experience. Yet it's just so slow. And there's a lot
you can viscerally experience it. Like, you know, 5-MeO DMT, you can read all damn day about what an experience is.
Exactly.
Until you dissolve into the fabric of the universe. You know, it's irrelevant.
I know. Yeah, I know. So for me, yes, like I we receive people that, you know, find out about, you know, my many years of working with this, and the what I am attuned to work in with medicine and integrity is that I believe there's so much preparation people get to do to prepare themselves to work with these sacred teachers, as well as knowing how to work with them during, and obviously having a safe, sacred facilitator space, sacred medicine, all the things that support all the aspects of it being that they can have this expansion of healing, and then how to integrate it after. So I've created like what we call the medicine expansion formula, which is, and it's also something that we've created to support many other facilitators that work with medicine, many other retreat spaces, because they don't necessarily have all the awareness that maybe I put together, and like how we process people and how we work through the different things, but also how we prepare the bodies, even preparing our body vessel. You know, I've done ascension fasting and worked with fasting teachers, and I've done like 21 days of water fasting, and done a lot in working with enemas and clearing out the rainbow light body for many years. And the more that I understood how clean and clear my vessel could be, the more I could actually receive the medicine. So we even do basics with people, making sure, I mean, I've had people shed 20 to 40 pounds before they even go to retreat. And that's just, let's prepare the body as one aspect. Let's start to allow you that when you actually can, that you can receive the medicine. Yet if people are using cannabis or they're jacked up on sugar or different things, their body can have, it can be really challenging. And then there's so much more that their body's trying to do with that than actually get to go into the deep healings that's available.
And I entirely agree with that concept too. Yeah. Is that we're a finely honed evolutionary machine. And if you're going to sit there and fill your body with MSG and sugar and then go take a plant medicine, there are consequences to that. And I think that's very, very reasonable to say is that, you know, I think part of it is that, you know, I like the idea that you have a very significant, I'm not going to call it intake, but sort of a pre-process with plant medicines in which people are actually going through and learning how to accept the medicine. As opposed to the sort of this Western idea that I'm just going to take a pill, we'll see what goes on, and I'm probably going to lose weight, or I'm going to be cured, or whatever. And it's like, no, like there's learning how to accept psychedelics is one of the bigger things. Like I've been privy to many people's experiences, and I feel like one of the biggest contributing factors is people's inability to let go and have a philosophy that they've at least started to grasp that they could hold on to going in and have that acknowledgement that this is letting go. This is the process. And just as much as integration is so deeply important, sort of the pre-work has such a significant component with it as well.
All of it. See, I see all of it as it's not just the medicine. Like the medicine has the capacity to open and expand our awareness to allow the healing of traumas, et cetera. And if people don't know how to work with it, it's kind of like, you know, even in my book, and one of the things these angels channeled to me many years ago when I healed myself of breast cancer, and then I learned how to move through anything unconscious to conscious. And it's what I teach in my book. And it's like a basic foundation of, it's what I call the five steps. If I gave someone that framework, it's shit.
Doesn't mean
if they do it unconsciously.
No.
If they do it unconsciously, if they do it from a place of unconscious ideas, it doesn't work, because it's only when you apply it from the higher awareness that it really works. And that's where we get to have a higher awareness. So same thing where it's like, you and I talked about this in the beginning, where it's like, you're like, most of the, this is what I'm really passionate about, at least, is that I would say 99% of what's out there about psychedelics and plant medicines is shit. Yeah. And it comes from
it's a Western approach that we're choosing to look at it, because it's the only way that we can bring these into it. And I've asked so many people on this show, is like, how do we integrate the mysticism of psychedelics with the approach of a modern Western medicine that we're bringing this in? It's analytic, it's materialistic, and it's reductionist. And so how do you bridge these things together? And that's part of the concern that I have with people bringing this, like even ketamine, for instance, in the modern context with a Western idealism of therapy. How are you bridging these things together? And is this the appropriate modality?
It's not just to do the medicine, right? Like that's a thing, the medicine. So this is where most of the, I mean, I hear horror stories all the time, and I get people that come to my retreats because they've been traumatized from working with medicine. They've been fractalized. Their psyches have been broken. And yet this is, as much as that's not something I want to speak about, because that can give people the wrong idea. This is why people have the wrong idea, is because these are the only things they hear. But the reason people are having those experiences is because they are not preparing themselves to work with medicine. They do not have a facilitator that knows how to prepare them and work with them through the process to guide them through. Of course, your fears and your anxiety and the stress, the worries are meant to come up because they're coming up to be healed and loved. So most people have no idea how to work with it. They don't know how to work with the medicine. So they can go into mind blocks, they can go into looping, they can go into fear, they can go into all these things, and then they become traumatized and they're not prepared for that, because it doesn't have to be scary. It's like the biggest joke with me and my peeps and all the people that go through my retreats, we laugh our fucking asses off. We're like, people have so much fear before. And this is the stuff we resolve and break through before they ever come, because whatever energy you go into medicine with, you're going
to
have.
It has a tendency to manifest itself. It really does.
And so like, that's a big piece for us, is we spend months, we start having them look at their unconscious commitments, what they actually are unconsciously committed to. I have a program called Unconscious Commitments to help people see, oh, these are the belief systems that I have unconsciously operating. I didn't even know were existing. So how do I start to heal those in my life now and become consciously aware of new conscious commitments I can align to? I teach them, I have them go through my Freedom Activators program to learn how to start to process and move through things, so they know how to move energy. Because we're all here, I like to call it just being a Jedi with energy. I'm like, I'm an alchemist. I'm here to be a Jedi with energy and teach other people how, oh, this is just energy I'm going to move through my system to allow to come to its healing. I can evolve this information to new information. Oh, this was just a stuck aspect of myself, the wounded child that got frozen in a time period of 5 years old when it got terrified and it's still living there. And all these protectors and managers jump in with these behaviors whenever anything that's love comes into my field, because I think love's going to hurt me. So all this happens, that we actually know how to move that energy, bring it to a higher awareness, and heal that. And there's just a fuck ton, Adam, I know you know this as well, there's a fuck ton of what's available when you work with medicine, when you're first off prepared. So we do a lot of clearing whatever is in resistance already happening in life. So I have people that have massive, huge life shifts before we ever go to retreat. Again, not only with their body vessels, but
super fucking interesting, because most people go to psychedelics to have that major shift.
Yep.
But then in that moment, they lack the tools to do what's good with it. And sometimes you can end up like you're not fully seeing the benefits of the medicine if you don't go in with the proper mindset and how to utilize it in that space. And then right afterwards, you know, and I've, it's a super interesting way of looking at it, because it is. It's saying that, you know, it's not necessarily the medicine that is actually causing this. It's an entire shift in your perspective that you're occurring beforehand so that you can actually receive it appropriately.
Yeah. And the medicine is the consciousness. The medicine is the higher consciousness that is going to bring up the things, but this is what, this is at least my integrity. Yes, anybody could go to a medicine experience. And I even have some people that are preparing for my next journey to remembrance right now. And I remember having a conversation with this one guy, and he's like, yeah, I know I need to heal this with my parents, da, 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 da. And literally I'm like, love her right now. And as we walked through it, and it was done in like 5 minutes. And then he's already imprinting these things now. Has had so many huge life shifts. He's like, I thought I was going to have to wait till retreat to actually work on these things. It's like, no, we already did these because they were in your field of as resistance now. We already did this now that when you get to go work with the medicine, it can now go to the depths and layers of everything that you've been suppressing that you didn't even know existed. Not to mention allow you, when we're willing to go to the entropy, which is in the gene keys, it's like the way that we evolve as we go into the deeper we're willing to go in the darkness, what happens, then the higher we can go into the heights and the bliss and the flow and the pleasure and the abundance, the more we can receive when we can actually clean out the things that are blocking why we can't receive, right? And so the medicine is going to, and this is what I love, is it's like, it's not me that's in charge. It's not based on my journey, my knowledge, my confidence. I'm like, it's you, your soul, and the medicine that is in charge. Like, it's the highest awareness. I'm just here to support you the guidance along the way.
Like,
right?
I say that very frequently. It's like, uh-huh. With psychedelics, you are playing both the role of the therapist and the patient. It's mm-hmm. just simply allowing someone to acknowledge that. And yeah. it's funny that one of the biggest contributing things I see with people doing psychedelics is they get in their own way.
Yeah. And that's why if you can know how to work with the medicine, you don't get in your own way. But again, unless you've experienced it, I mean, it's been fascinating to me as to, like, I've had a lot of people that have done medicine for years in other places. When they come and they get into my retreats, are like, I have never been taught this stuff. Like, I've never been taught how to work with the energy medicine, how the mind can get in the way, all these things. And they have a whole other experience because they learn to work with the medicine. But unless you've like gone the journey with it, you really don't know that's available. And so again, people can like have some awareness, but then they get stuck and they loop on something, or they're trying to figure something out in a vision and they can only receive this much. When I believe not only when people learn how to process themselves and work with the medicine, and we do a lot of clearing before, then they know how to work with what comes up, be able to move it through, and then they can receive the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And this is why I say to you, a fuck ton is available in our awakening and our healing and our consciousness in one medicine journey, let alone I like to go several with people because it's like the layers we get to go, but we're also processing. So after every single ceremony we have in my retreats, we do deep processing, making sure everyone is super clear. Like there might be something they got kind of stuck on and they weren't quite sure how, what it meant or how to work with it or et cetera. And if they're stuck on that, they're going to go into the next ceremony and be stuck on it. It's like that same thing has to come up. So I believe in us like knowing how to work with it to move and come to healing so that then they can go the next layer and the next layer. Then of course there's the integrating it into their life.
Out of curiosity then, you know, you were talking about like 6 months previous to actually working with psychedelics. So does that like, I can do this at home for a considerable portion and then I'm prepared when I come to the retreat?
We start about 2 months before with people. That's like our minimum we really like to do. And I have this entire medicine expansion formula that's put together. This is, again, why we started to create this to support people that don't have the same awareness that I do. Like say someone goes, I'm going to go work with medicine with someone else. How do I prepare myself? How do I make sure that I'm really good? They can actually get my medicine expansion formula and go through it on their own and have that support. In my experiences, we have obviously other trained facilitators to support. We do group calls. So we're doing calls as a group and moving through, working through stuff. They're going through, learning all this stuff. They're learning, they're starting to open and awaken or heal and alchemize their body vessels. They're learning how to work with the medicine. And there's that support that they can ask questions and go through all that, that then we go into working with the medicine. And then it's a few months after that we're supporting people in that integration, because then they're going to recode. So this is why, again, I love that you brought this up, that it's like, it's not, I mean, a lot of people think, oh, I just go take this medicine. But when they don't know how to work with it, even after, nothing changes.
Well, and so if then only what happens that simple, right?
I should go back. Like, what?
Since if only it was that simple, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Like, yeah. It's like now, and so this is what I also find fascinating, which I'd love to bring into awareness for people. If they haven't worked with medicines, they might not know this. If they have, they might be like, oh, no wonder. So I would say like maybe 1-5% of my people after feel fucking awesome. Like, I mean, like they get home and they're like, I am blissed out. Oh, da, 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 da. 95% of them feel like shit.
Yeah.
Now, this is why, is because they cleared and healed so much in that experience that then they go, they're at a higher attunement. Most everyone feels amazing after, but I'm talking about when they go back to their reality. And all of a sudden they go back into their 3D reality that they've been living in, and everything looks and feels shitty because they're at a different level of attunement, and they now see what they've been tolerating, sacrificing, settling for, and surviving in. And all of a sudden it's a wake-up call. It's like, oh shit, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good. I get to literally now recode this new reality. I get to upgrade my reality to be in vibrational match with this attunement I now have imprinted within my body vessel, hence the experiential training. They come to a remembrance within, a higher light within their body vessels of like, oh, I remember who the fuck I am. Well, I can't go back and pretend I don't know who I am anymore, right? I can't go squeeze into that old box and that old shell and try to live that old life anymore.
It's funny that you say that. I've referenced like a notion of Pandora's box, where it's like once you open that up and you look inside, you can't shut it.
Yeah.
Now, like, you know.
Well, people do try. You know, I mean, it's not that you couldn't. People do try, but it's...
If I will say.
Yeah. You know, it's like the choice is to expand. And this is why I love... You know, people can take it slowly. I do see people catapult, just like I did myself when I started working with plant medicine and psychedelics. I have been through my programs for years and they've made big changes. But the moment people go through working with plant medicine and psychedelics, they just have this massive quantum leap, because it's like so much that we block as a human in our human awareness gets open and accessed and released and healed. And then we have higher awareness and it's like, okay, like now I see it all. This is what I get to do to implement that. And that's why I believe every single piece of this is a part of the formula. You can't just, okay, I'm going to show up and go take medicine. Not to mention people go to spaces where these are where the horror stories happen. You know, again, they didn't have sacred space. They didn't have clean medicine. They didn't have a facilitator who knew how to guide or support them. And they go through a healing. They're trying to use their voice and they get suppressed. Like, no. There's all these ways that the medicine actually wants to work through the system to come to its healing, and they get suppressed and they get fractalized. So all of these pieces to me are to be in integrity with working with these sacred teachers, is to prepare to work with them. And that's also on your intentions, and be able to come into clean energy of the excitement, the curiosity to heal any fears, worries, etc. It's like, oh, how do I get to support myself to go and have this gift? I'm in a supported space with amazing people. You know, this is all available to me. And having each pieces of this awareness then is what creates the massive quantum leap of our consciousness and attunement that's there. Not to say that it can't be beautifully used. There's many people have had shitty experiences and they still get things out of it. But it's like, I just see it as to be in full integrity. Like, this is what's available. And what my passion is now is letting people know that that's available.
Well, that's also about efficiency, right? What is the most efficient way that you can have a positive result from this?
Yeah.
I'm always amazed at how people seemingly, what I perceive to be common sense about how to, you know, feel your body, for instance, or, you know what I mean? Like it's wild that I remember, you know, I was doing mushrooms with a friend of mine and he showed up eating a Big Mac and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, and I'm like, A, empty stomach, and B, you're choosing to eat McDonald's before we do a bunch of mushrooms. Yeah. And it's funny how, and that's a very obvious example of something, but just saying like, you know, you take that as a very obvious physiological example and then apply that to all the personality traits, all the ways of thinking, all the programming and nuance that we experience, and then having a program in which we can sort of unwind that and be in the most optimal condition to have an experience of a heart opening or a consciousness opening.
Yeah. And I love that you even use the word unwind, because so many times I refer to giving like my peeps a description of it, even as we heal and clear what I call the rainbow light body, that we are this clear channel of energy that at the end we can easily manifest, vibrate, and be sovereign beings that are creating with ease. And so what we're doing is we're unwinding, we're unraveling. Yeah. It's like these stuck knots of energy and beliefs, etc. And we're just unblending, unwinding, and letting those that we can just open up to receive. And so, yeah, there's a lot that's available. And I think most of what's out there, and I hold the vision for the legalization, for the sovereign awareness of how we get to utilize these supportive teachers, and also that more people can be aware of, like, if I am, I mean, because I get it. Some people could be like, whoa, to go work with you. whoa, you're going to start months in advance and we're going to da 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 da. And I'm like, that's what I'm here for. I'm here for a massive fucking change.
Yeah.
I don't do surface. Like, you come into my space and your whole world's going to massively shift. And some people, you know, might see it the other way. It's like, I just want to go to this thing and do that.
Well, and they
might
just scratch the surface. If someone wants to go do mushrooms in Doug's basement, mm-hmm. then have at it. But you know what I mean? Like, there is a difference.
Yeah, and, there is a difference.
And
yeah.
It's funny, like when I started doing psychedelics, it was in my house with my wife and in the absence mm-hmm. of trained facilitators. And yes, you do get something from it, but it's a longer path.
Yeah.
It's grinding.
Yeah.
It's
scary. And when, as you become aware of how to work with it, then that's available. You know, like I love, like, usually on every year for my sacred beer thing and being in another level of mastery in years young, as I like to put it. I'm like, what do I want to do? I want to go be with the medicine. I like want to go in my own ceremonial day. And I can do that having the awareness of how to work with it. Yet if you, you know, for people's first experience to be like, oh, meet a bunch of friends, are going to get together. Or there's my whole system's like, ooh, ooh. And I go, I honor that too. That has a right to exist. And a lot of people will go again to places that do this and there's just a fuck ton of people and there's not I like to have small limited groups of people because there's so much personalized attention to make sure they're fully walked through and safe through the entire journey and just everything is available and hence the preparation that we do. It's a lot of time, effort, and energy to really focus on people. And so to me it's like I like limited small groups because that's what's available in this process. So I guess it really just always comes down to what people are really choosing to step into as their experience. And this is where we can quantum leap. And I believe it's kind of like the experiential training, the analogy I like to use. It's like, if you want to become a swimmer, you know, you can read books about, you realize you're afraid of swimming and you have all these fears and you can like process it with a coach. Adam, let's talk about this. I'm really scared of the water. It just freaks the fuck out of me. And I had these, I almost drowned when I was little, you know, and all these things, and I can read books about it and I can process it and all this, but until I get in the fucking water, I'm not a swimmer.
Yeah.
You know? And so let's dive into the awakening of our consciousness. And these are not to say, I mean, there's many ways up the mountaintop. And I believe, you know, so when people are called to it and they're ready for it, then yay. And what do we get to do to support you in fully maximizing or utilizing or respecting these sacred teachers and working with them?
Well, and to jump from the dive analogy, it's like, you know, if you're going to dive in the pool, learning some form and appropriateness so you don't do a belly flop when you hit the water.
And then be like, oh, yeah, it's
loud, smack, belly's red, everything's fucked up. And you just, you know, yeah, it's like just there's something to be said for going gracefully into oblivion.
I like that. If I ever use that analogy again, I'm going to be like, and in the words of Adam, let's add some skill set to this, shall we? So we just don't become a blubbering, drowning thing. Yeah.
And so we're coming up to sort of a close here. And so let's just kind of, how do people access your services? You know, your webpage, I've been on it. There's, mm-hmm. it's quite interactive. We'll obviously include the webpage and our notes and everything like that. But is there anything you want to say, sort of like a plug to what you're doing and what you plan on doing?
Well, you know, I think if people listen to this conversation and they're actually like, I fucking like her, they're probably my people. If they were like, oh my God.
Then if they don't like it, they can go see Doug.
There's lots of other ways to learn and grow and evolve, my friends. It's all perfect. So yeah, I mean, the marcylock.com is probably gives access to all the different avenues that we have. Obviously I have my podcast, my book, my programs that I have, and you know, products of meditations, activations, things, and I believe the retreats are on there, my lead to my show. So all of it is really accessible through marcylock.com. And I'm just here to fucking play in more love and light and bliss and joy and harmony and yumminess and all of our divinity as our divine birthright, and to, like, you know, so grateful to receive all the beloveds and soul family that like are like, yeah, that's also available. And that means we get to love every aspect of whatever is not in alignment with that, and, you know, choose to reflect that for each other and walk the journey home. As, like I said, as Ram Dass likes to say, we're just walking each other home. So I'm grateful that we got to jam out and that you're also a passionate about sharing more of these truths or that what's available and with this information, and that more people can receive as well.
Well, and you know, the only way to really heal is if we all work together. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's the idea that we're alone, I don't think is reasonable. We're all singular in the sense of what we are. We just people have to understand and realize that.
Yeah. Well, a huge part of our healing is co-regulation. It's like, yeah, I get to take responsibility and I get to learn to self-regulate, to self-parent, et cetera, to regulate my own system when I feel triggered or fear or nervousness or anxiousness, because that is part of my mastery, is to like, ooh, I'm like, this is my divine truth. And from the way that we're, you know, created and raised and born, it's like at every single developmental stage, we were designed to have different experiences that evolve, that expand our consciousness, et cetera. And most of us didn't have that. Most of us didn't have the physical or the emotional safety. And so we, you know, you speak up and you get shamed or sent into the corner or, you know, et cetera. And we didn't learn it's okay to actually have all our thoughts or feelings, et cetera. And yeah, so just even this co-regulation to be able to say, like, I see you, love, and you can express all things and be all things, and I hold you in love and all things. That is too a part of our journey, which means, again, I am you, you are me. So why would I ever shame it? So yeah, it's a beautiful gift to just fucking be in love. That doesn't sound all namaste for you.
Well, and you know what? I think that, though, what you just said is a very accurate reflection of what we all want. It's just a matter of getting past our own shit to actually experience it.
Yeah. And how much we can receive that. But we also, as we said before, if we can't do that for ourselves, start with yourself. Yeah, whatever you're wanting from outside you got to give to yourself. You know, we can't give that to others until we give it to ourselves. And we can't even receive that from others till we give it to ourselves, because our level of love we can receive is also a reflection of what we can give to ourselves, as you put so beautifully before. So yeah, this is what we're here for. Let's just fucking play.
Yeah, man. I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you know what, Sundri? I very much enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, me
and
too.
Thank you for coming and being a guest on our show, and I appreciate your time.